Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. When we think of the Tuscany province in Italy, many people picture rolling hills and mountains dotted with small towns and farms. Few of us picture ghosts, ghouls, and other supernatural occurrences. But the Garfagnana region of Tuscany is known for just that, and it's this eerie reputation that inspired Paul Salcini's latest book, The Ghosts of the Garfagnana. Salcini is the author of numerous books set in Tuscany, and he'll talk more about this latest one at a Boswell Book Company event next Monday. But first, he joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about why his writing always returns to Tuscany.
My father was born in a little town there, and my mother's parents were born in the same town. My mother and father met here, but both sides of my family are in that same town. So when I go to the cemetery, there's all Salcini's on one side and Consani's on another, among other people, of course. And so I'm really rooted there.
Have you spent a lot of time in that area?
I visited Tuscany about 13 times, but it's always been with relatives, and so I haven't spent much time touring the place.
Now, I know this book focuses on one very specific area of Tuscany.
Correct.
What are the characteristics that really make Tuscany what it is?
Tuscany is such a beautiful area. It's on all the calendars and all the postcards, and inspires artists. Florence is the capital, and so that's the center of the Renaissance. And the area is so beautiful. It's varied. There are some flat parts, but it's also mountainous and beautiful hills. There are a lot of hill towns. It stretches to the water, and so it's so varied. It's so beautiful.
What separates Garfagnana?
Garfagnana is in the northwest corner of Tuscany, and it's unlike any other part, at least I think, of Tuscany or even of Italy. It has very high mountains. Some of them are forested. Some of them are white granite. It has rippling streams and tiny villages. And it hasn't been discovered by tourists, but except for some hikers. People just don't know about the Garfagnana. Because, as I said, it's not well populated. Barga is the center of it, I suppose. It is the biggest place, and it's not very big.
How large is Barga?
Barga?
Yeah.
Barga, I would say, is about 5,000 people.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, pretty small.
It is small. It is small, and it's, as I said, it's not very well known. But it drew me because it's not only so beautiful, but it also has this eerie kind of reputation. Things happen there, and people say that. They say that there are some very strange things happening in the Garfagnana, if they are to be believed. But there are some such things as there's a bridge that was built by the devil in the Middle Ages. It's called the Devil's Bridge, of course. There's a mountain which is reported to house a witch's coven, and where strange voices can be heard. And there's also deep in another place, there's an underground cavern where voices are heard. But the one thing that interests me is in the 1940s, a lake was created when they built a dam. And in order to create the lake, they had to evacuate a village. So the village people all moved to another place and abandoned their houses and their church and everything. And so the lake covered it all. But on cold winter nights, one can hear voices and one can hear church bells, even though the church bells were removed when they built the dam. So this is what people say, you know, and maybe they do this for effect or for tourist attraction, but it's that kind of eerie kind of atmosphere that attracted me to the Garfagnana.
Well, and your stories are all kind of haunted, mysterious stories, a real departure from some of your other work right. about Tuscany.
Yes, yes. Because of this eerie your supernatural kind of atmosphere in the Garfagnana, I wanted to write stories that reflected that. And the stories have some ghosts and some have supernatural things. One woman has a seance, another one has a crystal ball, and very strange. Oh, and there's the ghost in the theater, of course. It's all very mysterious to me. And it was so much fun writing about this because I'd never written anything like this before.
It's very mysterious. There's some religious aspects to it. You start off with the monks, of course.
Right.
And one of the things I found interesting was just how many time periods you kind of went
yes.
into. There's a lot of time travel here.
Yeah, it does have a great span of time. It starts in the Middle Ages and ends in contemporary times. For example, in one of the last stories, a young man is singing songs from Hamilton. So that brings us up to date and where we are now.
What kind of historical research did you have to do in order to write this book? Because I have to imagine that you didn't start off
No, I didn't. I've always wanted to write about the Middle Ages, but I'd really had to do a lot of research about the Middle Ages and the whole period, the bad things that happened. There's a section about the flagellants, which were people who beat themselves in order to atone for their sins. Now, that's historically accurate. There's a part about the plague, the Black Death of the Middle Ages. So I had to research all those kinds of things, too, as background and to insert those portions into the stories.
Well, and something you've written about, of course, before is World War II
right.
and Italy.
Right.
And, you know, as I was reading this book, I thought to myself, how much has this area changed over time? You know, when we're talking about it in the Middle Ages versus, mm-hmm. you know, way later in
right.
World War II versus now, how much has it changed?
It hasn't changed a lot. At least the way it looks, it hasn't changed. People have suffered, of course, a lot. And people still remember, even after all these years, World War II, the elder people, of course. And there are monuments all over. And The effect of World War II is still on these people. And the Garfagnana suffered during this whole period because the Germans were retreating at that time from the Allies who were advancing north. And it was a bloody, bloody time when the Germans were massacring people in the villages, innocent people. And people were fleeing and hiding, and it was just a terrible, terrible time.
When you've gone there, is that something that people still talk about?
They still talk about, yeah, they do. They do. They still talk about the war. Some of them don't because the war divided people. There were the partisans who and their supporters, and then there were the fascists and their supporters, and the country was really split. And it was a civil war, actually, that was happening in Italy until after the Mussolini capitulated and then the Allies took over.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to this book specifically, unlike your other books, this is a collection of different stories.
Correct.
What do you think connects these stories?
I tried to connect in several ways. The monastery figures is the central part of the first story, and there's references to it all the way, and even the last story. The monks are a thread through the whole story. The supernatural aspects are threads through the whole story as well. There's the daughter of one person who is in one story, and then her mother is in another story, and so they are connected somehow.
Both through the land and in some cases through heritage.
Yes, uh-huh. That's right.
Well, Paul Salsini, thank you so much for joining us here on
Well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it very much.
Paul Salsini is the author of numerous books about the Tuscany region of Italy, including his latest, The Ghosts of the Garfagnana, Seven Strange Stories from Haunted Tuscany. Salsini spoke with Joy Powers, and he'll be at Boswell Book Company for an event next Monday at 7. You can find more information at wuwm.com.